That's very nice and organized and consistent. One.
Yes.
Two. Three.
We're on tempo.
Four. Okay.
No, tempo. Like, wait.
Cue the goodbyes.
I should probably leave too. All
right. Fade to black.
Oh, man.
We should have added footstep sound effects and a door closing.
That was here's quite the cast scattered. Of Saved by the Bell. Oh,
little,
my God.
Little Foley work there. That could be fun. Yeah, so did we want to do another round?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. Yes, but I need to use the restroom first.
Yes, I was going to say this is good personal break time to get beverages and other things.
Indeed, and I might reheat my Taco Bell a little bit.
Well, I might work out some jokes.
As dangerous
if you don't
as
mind.
Is.
I know your listeners are always so curious.
if you want to test market stuff, it's still rolling.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'd like to just, you know, give a little bit of like who I am and what I do. And, you know, I'm just a family friendly guy. And I just do, you know, family friendly jokes. And I'm glad that we're cutting this off because you'll see what I do here. I'm having second thoughts now about doing this, but I had this joke about like going on stage and saying like, oh, I'm the family-friendly comedian, like, you know, get all dressed up and then just get on stage and like, here's my opener. Okay, so hey guys, so I came home and I came home from a hard day at work and my wife was in the shower and I was coming out of the shower and she's standing there and she's got her blow dryer down her towel and I said, honey, what are you doing? And she just looks at me and says, I'm heating up your dinner.
Oh, my God.
That's, like, just super dirty jokes. But I just, like, hey, kids. And then I try to, like, tie it back in with the kids or something. But that's just, like, just you know. I don't even know if there's a name for that. Just misconception humor, I guess.
Maybe.
It'd be pretty funny. It's funnier. I got more.
I think it's...
See, that's my joke because I went to that Christian university and like everyone there like gets married at like 22 and 24 and stuff. And it's just like,
yeah, okay.
It's kind of a phenomenon you don't really see a lot outside of a Christian school, but
yeah. I don't know. It's pretty prevalent in Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a Midwestern thing. That's for sure.
It's definitely like marry somebody before you get out of high school.
Yes,
I've always thought of it as a Mormon thing.
Marry early?
Yes. Mostly because of one person I knew in high school.
Well, if it's a Mormon, it's got to be because, you know, you can always get another one, right?
That's the American way to think.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'll just pick up this one now, and then if I want an addition.
A new model.
Yeah, exactly. You can upgrade. It's like that Best Buy policy where you can just send back your old...
The buyback.
The buyback
policy.
Which I'm not fully certain how it works. But
probably wouldn't work very well with wives. Probably not.
Secondhand wives don't go for very high.
did either of you listen to last week's Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Oh my gosh,
no,
I don't think I did.
I haven't listened to that one for a while.
Because there was a great news story in there where this woman had gone on Facebook and people you may know brought up somebody that she was connected to. It was her husband's wife.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Turns out this guy was a bigamist,
and
she found out via Facebook because they have somebody in common.
Oh.
Was he married to two people on
Facebook?
Yeah,
he's a bigamist.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Wow.
Like, went through the photos and saw wedding pictures with her husband in them.
Now, what's worse, that story or the story of the guy who bought his wife an engagement ring, and then it got posted on his Facebook through like what I don't remember what it was, but there used to be like an app where it would say what you're in, like what you've been purchasing or something like that. And then like his wife saw it and saw that he bought him an engagement ring, and it blew it. Probably the worst for the bigamist, I'd have to say. But
by wife, you mean fiance?
Well,
yeah.
For one,
that's
you
right.
Just don't have the surprise. The other one, you could get a lawsuit or jail time.
Or girlfriend, I mean.
You know, bigamy is still legal.
Illegal?
Yes.
Okay.
But I just said illegal.
Well, I need to attend to some things currently, so
yeah,
be leaving.
Off topic, Adam, how is the taco with the Doritos shell? Because so that sounds good. Disturbing.
I was
to
gonna
me,
ask, but
oh man.
Welcome if you've to ever America.
Had, if you've ever had a taco in a bag or a walk-in taco, as they're known as.
Never.
It's like that. It's a taco in a bag is where you open up the side of a Doritos bag and you just pour the ground beef and the lettuce and the cheese and sour cream and and sauce into it. And then you just eat it out of it with a fork. And it's super tasty.
It doesn't sound like something I would ever do, but okay.
It's ridiculously good, and I mean I've seen them at music festivals and the Whippy Dip, which is the most popular ice cream place in my college town, also did them very well. And so I would say that this is kind of like a mainstream version of that, where you've got the Taco Bell ingredients on the inside, Doritos shell on the outside. It's kind of unholy, in a way. It is.
It looks interesting.
It works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Maltin, as in Leonard Maltin, M-A-L-T-I-N?
Yes.
Okay. I'm checking in.
Are you checking in and bragging saying, simultaneously?
No, I'm not bragging, because I'm not going to release that information.
Thank you. That's worth checking.
I am saying that we just wrapped recording the episode itself, and we're about to record a bonus
track
round of the game.
Adam, are you willing to play and eat? Because you will be going first in this one.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Because your three categories are Boondock Saints, March 21st birthdays, and who?
I'd like to do the March 21st birthdays.
March 21st birthdays. Your choices are 1990, number one, 1990, number two, or 2005.
1990.
I did say on each one which one they are.
I was going for your intonation like we've done before because I think it's fun.
Yeah, I don't listen for that.
I changed it though,
That's why I added in the caveat of number one or number two.
Okay, fine. That was number two.
There we go.
Kids at home, you knew which one I was talking about.
Nope.
Kids these days.
So it's Matthew Broderick's birthday today.
Oh, hey. Right. Happy birthday, Matt.
So this is a movie that's available on Netflix and or Crackle featuring Matthew Broderick from 1990.
1990?
90.
He?
You mean 1990.
See, he got it.
Yeah, of course.
I follow, Adam. I follow.
No, there's 1990. Okay, never mind.
This is the second. So
please.
Yeah.
Okay, so Leonard Maltin gives this movie three stars. Calls it an infectious off-center comedy. It's not an outstanding film per se, but it has a strong cast, and it's a very amusing and it's a very amusing original screenplay. One of the characters, who is a veteran actor, gives a knockout performance. And works well with the hero of the story. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 names.
I'll go with 8 names.
8 names. Jen, it goes to you next.
I'm debating attempting to pull what I pulled in the other game, but I'm afraid I'm not going to do as well this time. But what the heck?
What the heck?
I'm going to go with a hunch and say 0 names.
0 names. Andrew, can you do -1 or less? Or more?
I don't know. You have to name that movie. I'm
going to attempt to name that movie with Election.
It is not.
Ah.
Election
was a,
bit later.
I thought it might be, but I wanted to give it a shot.
Just to throw it out there, what if I just said it was... Yeah, most of these names nobody knows. But it's Matthew Broderick and Marlon Brando, 1990
Brando.
Movie, 3 stars, known as,
wow,
The Freshman. The Freshman, anybody?
No, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, not sure about that one.
I wasn't born yet.
That's a good excuse.
That's true.
That's right, that's why no one ever picks the 1980s categories here, because I'm the only one who really experienced much of the 80s that's in the room right now.
Yeah.
And I was only 6 when the decade changed, but I'm still the only one. That
I remember Reagan. No, I don't understand.
So, Andrew, you got the first point on that one. I recommend The Freshman to everybody. It's available on Crackle. Very
good
funny.
To know.
And it's Marlon Brando reprising his Godfather performance, basically. It's very good.
Interesting.
It's very good. So that means that, Adam, you get to start again.
Cool.
But this time it goes in the other direction. So this time I will give you Netflix new releases. So this is movies that are new releases on Netflix or movies that are new to Netflix.
Okay.
We will bring back Unseasonable Warmth. So movies that have hot in the title. Mm-hmm. Or I will also bring back Zero Names.
Okay. let's see. I love Zero Names, so I want to do Zero Names.
Zero Names.
Yes.
There are two choices left. They are 1993 and 1998.
Let's go 1993.
1993. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. Says it's a crowd-pleasing comedy with serious overtones about a free about a free spirit whose wife divorces him after 14 years. He can't bear being separated from his 3 kids, so he disguises himself as a dowdy British housekeeper under an Oscar-winning makeup job and gets himself hired to look after them. Williams is in peak form, and director Columbus keeps story and characters reasonably realistic in order to drive home a humanistic message. Based on the book Alias Madam Doubtfire by Anne Fine, Williams and his wife produced. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 names. And you're going from the top down. Minimum opening bid is 0 names.
-1 names.
-1 names. Andrew, it goes to you next.
I know more names in this movie, but I just don't know that second one. I don't know. I don't know her name. I know it's the her. I know it's the female lead. And if I get it to Adam, he's just gonna get it.
It's all that strategy now.
I'll say -2 names.
-2 names.
Come on. I'm gonna try for -3.
-3 names.
Name that movie.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
It is.
Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Sally Field.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I would have said Guzman.
Yes.
Okay.
I was sitting there. I was like, please don't let Adam get it with -1. Oh, I can get this.
At the same time, I wasn't sure if you're just going to turn around and say name that movie since he just admitted that he wasn't going to get it.
No. I'd been sitting here and clean I was win. Like,
it was a clever ruse.
I think I've got this one.
Yeah. I was thinking, man, Pierce Brosnan is in there, but he's not #2.
Nope.
Mm. No, the kids don't even come up for a while. Harvey Fierstein's next.
Yeah, that actually doesn't surprise me. Because the kids were, I mean, they're big characters, but kids are never really top billed unless they're the main.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it's just, you know, comparative screen time.
Yeah, no, that's true. One of them was, what were the brothers?
It was 1 brother and 2 sisters.
I know, but the brother was a something brother. Was he a Lawrence?
Mario brother?
Matthew.
Yeah, Lawrence, right? Matthew Lawrence? Okay. I knew he was one of those.
One of the Lawrences,
one of those kid actor families.
Of that time.
Yes. Oh, and
Matilda was
Matilda,
in it?
Matilda, I was going to say, yeah. Whose name I can't remember now.
Mara Wilson.
There it is.
Ah,
I knew
good.
He knew.
See,
so
I wouldn't have got that one.
Yeah, I don't know why I remember that from my childhood.
That's... Daughter is though.
I think guess I've seen Lisa her in other things. Jacob.
I guess I watched Matilda a lot.
Or Polly Holiday.
I love Matilda. Love Matilda.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Jen, you have a point again. Andrew, you have a point. Adam, yet to score.
Damn.
And Andrew, you start, and it goes to Adam. Mm. So I need to get rid of Mrs. Doubtfire on this list. And I will give you who? Boondock Saints and Netflix new releases.
Oh. I was going to say who, but now I want... You know, we'll do who. I'll stick with my first choice.
I did come up with six different movies for this, so I was hoping we'd wean it down at least one.
All right.
Your three choices are 1999, 2001, and 2009.
I'm feeling 2009.
2009.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars. Calls it a gritty and gripping drama. Interesting. There's not a lot to this review. it was it's just a gives the lead character calls it a compelling performance. Gritty, gripping drama.
It's a gripping drama.
Okay then.
That's actually about all I can give you. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8 names. And the one of the main characters' names, not the actor, but the main characters' names, is in the title.
It's Finding Nemo, isn't it?
It's not that. It's not that gritty. That one gets pretty dark. But
yeah.
Not that. Definitely not does. That bad. And plus, 2009. But
I'm not being serious.
Like I said, 8 names.
Because when I think Finding Nemo, I think gritty.
I'll do.
If there was a chance it really was, I'm sure you would not have said that.
Oh, man. I'll do 7. I'll do 7 names.
Mm-hmm. Adam?
6 names.
6 names.
5 names.
5 names.
Oh, name that movie.
Okay.
Your 5 names are Sean Harris, David Bradley, Ian Glenn, Liam Cunningham, and Ben Drew.
I know none of those names, but I'm once again kind of going on a hunch here. Michael Clayton?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Didn't see that one, but it's been the last couple of years-ish that I knew it was a drama.
You were on the right track, but it's not. It's what realistically, it was the last 2 names.
What were the rest of the names?
The ones that you did not hear are Charles Creed Miles, Emily Mortimer, and Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. What was the name of that one?
And you know
what?
Now I can't remember the name anyway, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's in my queue.
Is it another Michael?
Oh, it's called
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Every time
of this movie, and I've heard it reviewed. I just don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's 2 adjectives. If one of them was misspelled,
then.
I can picture the cover.
It's Harry Brown.
Harry Brown.
Okay.
Harry Brown. Great movie.
Yeah, I think that's the one I was thinking of. Great movie. I do not know it.
Bummer. Highly recommend. 3 stars from Leonard Maltin.
So yeah, 3 stars.
I gave you another point.
Yeah, so that. Andrew, you got 2 points and you have a point. Adam, yet to score.
It's all strategy.
And Adam, you start this time again.
Yeah.
And you will get Netflix new releases. Dan's Netflix Instant Queue, and Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints. So, somebody from the movie Boondock Saints is in each of these movies.
Oh.
Your choices are 1999, 2010, number 1, or 2010, number 2.
Let's go with 2010, number 1.
2010, number 1. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 2.5 stars. It was predictably far from great. Refers to its genre as low budget.
Okay.
Says that there is a continuation of thrust and parry between 2 groups in this movie. Refers to the person from the Boondock Saints, actually, as a firebrand. but says that only hardcore fans will care. Mm-hmm. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 names.
Negative, no. I didn't mean to say negative.
Oops.
All of a sudden, promise. Really bold.
Yeah.
Out of the gate.
Negative 10. No. Let's go with, let's go with 7 names.
7 names. Andrew goes to you first. Mm. After it. So second.
Mm. You've got me out of my wellhouse. So name that movie.
7 names.
Okay. Give me my 7.
And if you don't, he wins.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Crap. It's all on me now.
All right. Your 7 names are James Van Patten, Dean Armstrong, Lawrence Anthony, Gina Holden, Chad Doniella, Sean Patrick Flannery, and how do you pronounce the name of the guy from the Princess Bride? Elwes? Elwes?
Yeah.
Cary Elwes. He's number 7.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, could I hear the review one more time?
2010.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 stars. Predictably far from great. It's okay. First to its genre is low budget. There is thrust and parry between two groups in the movie. Refers to, since you've heard his name already, Sean Patrick Flannery is a firebrand, since he's the guy from Boondock Saints. And only hardcore fans will care.
That's probably why I don't care.
This one is the longest shot of the three.
Just had to go with 2010, didn't you? Didn't you, Adam?
Nice going, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Well, just since this hangs in the balance at this point, 1999 was, ooh, Boondock Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I like it.
Really, there wasn't very much out there, but I really wanted this category back. So 1999 would have been a throwaway.
Oh.
2010.
Should have listened to Prince, Adam. Should have listened to Prince.
That's a good point.
Yeah, always listen to Prince.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah.
You got to take a stab at it. At least the game is on the line here.
Right.
That's what she said.
The game is on the line.
No, you got to take a stab at it.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay.
That's,
I was like, that's some deep innuendo.
Yeah. I'm
that's
going
what she said.
Yes, thank you.
That's some deep innuendo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to, for the humor and seriousness of it, say Boondock Saints 2.
It was not.
Oh.
It was Saw 3D.
Oh.
Son
really?
Of a bitch. That was my...
I was thinking it was probably one of the Saw movies. Cary Elwes gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
Would have never gotten it.
I wouldn't have known which one, but...
It crossed my mind, but I was like... There's like 15 bajillion Saw movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one it is. I saw the first one. I think Carrie was in the first one.
I think
but
he's in all of them, isn't he?
I think so.
I've only seen part of the first one. I'm not a horror fan
never
at
seen
all.
Any
not
of
my
them.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not my thing in the least.
He was in the first one and the last one.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Go figure.
It's the bookends.
Well, so much for that.
Yeah. Andrew wins
so
this
Andrew
one.
Wins this one.
Hey, I didn't
but you
even
know what?
Do
that's
anything.
Not bad because the two noobs got to each win a round. So there
yeah.
you go.
And I got shut out completely.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
That's okay. Mm.
Whoops.
I'm giving myself another point for effort.
So. Well,
sure. Okay.
I'll give you
because it's like
for,
whose line is it anyway and where the points don't matter.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. Our next improv game will be
props.
Scenes from
props.
A hat. First
scenes
one.
From a hat.
Get out.
No. Two raptors aww. Hailing a cab. Go.
I'm sad the game is over, though. I really like this game.
Yeah, see, I mean...
I kind of want to play another round.
I will say that I think...
Oh, man. What did I unleash?
Movie Bluff is a little bit more
raptors,
you know,
obviously.
Suiting for anyone. Like, anyone can kind of hop in and have a fighting chance.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Where this one is just like, I was listening to myself give these descriptions like without anything. No idea what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
What am I saying, you guys?
Oh, no.
Man. Oh, man. But yeah.
I got a question, awesome. Though, about Movie Bluff, because last time I was on, we played, and here's the thing. Say someone hands you the baton, and you have to name it, and you go for the bluff. You either pull out a movie
that just is nowhere near the repertoire.
But if no one catches it, but you know it, and like someone passes it on, and you say, oh, wait, that wasn't it. Is that how? Is that a rule that you can get the point if you do that?
No. It was originally a potential rule, but it just kind of killed gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah, because then you'd have to say, I was bluffing, I get the point now, and then it would stop right there.
Because then it'd be basically between two other people already at that point.
Because I did that, I thought like that was, yeah, I must have listened to like one of the early ones, one of the early shows, and then like been like, oh,
we're
I can do
almost
that.
Test marketing it.
Yeah, yeah, and then I was like, oh, I can do this. I can think of random Donald Sutherland, like, out of nowhere, and
who
then
was
you're
he
like,
in that movie,
you're like, what?
But that was one of the rules that we've instigated since, is if somebody doesn't recognize who they were in the film, you do have to give at least a general description if you don't know who they are directly.
Awesome.
The next person in line can ask for that.
Yeah, that makes it harder to bluff, though, if they actually do ask for that. And if you know you're bluffing...
You could, if you know the movie well enough, but you just can't think of anybody, you could say it's somebody who relatively looks like them and still kind of sneak it in.
True.
It's just you have to sell it.
Or if it's a movie that you know the other person isn't familiar with, you could say something like, well, you know, the best friend of the leading lady, or, you know, so-and-so's friend, or I don't know.
Because obviously Ed Norton was in The Prestige. Obviously.
The Mighty Ducks. The coach was Martin Sheen.
So well.
Just trust me on this.
Oh, that one made Martin me so mad because I was such a huge fan of The Prestige. Ducks. That's how I know. And when I saw The Illusionist, I really liked it, but I saw it a little while later.
Right.
And I saw The Prestige like 3 times in the theater. So the second that one passed by, it was like, no, that's not. Sorry.
I
get intense about my movie trivia.
It's by design.
What's funny is I knew it was The Illusionist in my head. I said, it's The Illusionist. I said, somebody said, Ed Norton movie. I was like, The Prestige. I was just so ready. I was like, wrong one. I was like, I think that's what I was thinking of. And I just come back and was like, wait, no, he wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't?
That was the one with David Bowie, among other people.
Both quality movies. But
when you went to see movies at that time, most people had to kind of make that choice. Like, I'm going to go see The Prestige, not The Illusionist. Like, you kind of almost picked when you got there. It's just like, I'm going to go with this camp. I'll get
Fair
to this
enough.
One later.
For me, it was a matter of a friend of mine wanted to see it and said, come see The Prestige with me. And then I liked it so much, I dragged another friend to it. So it was never a choose one or the other. It was just, that's what I saw. And then I saw The Illusionist after it came out on DVD.
Right. That's what I did, too.
So.
You got the Bowie songs in my head now.
Because he's... Mm. God, who's he?
He's Tesla.
Tesla.
Yeah.
I was going to say...
And he's completely unrecognizable as Tesla. Or virtually unrecognizable. Most people I've gone to see it with, the credits roll, and they're like, who the hell was David Bowie in this movie? What?
Oh, see, I saw it right away.
Oh, see, I've seen it with a lot of people who have been confused. I had a movie bluff question, actually, that I was thinking about earlier today. When it comes to TV shows, people who've made guest appearances but are not regulars, does that count?
That's allowable.
That's
as far
allowable.
As I'm concerned.
I think
preferably if they're recurring, obviously. But
I think somebody would try to call shenanigans on it mid game.
If it was like
if it was like walk through a scene, like people will really want some sort of consistency with. I mean, yes, they're credited on IMDb as they're this character, but you know, people want screen time because. You know, if I had said Britney Spears, it could go anywhere from being Crossroads to being How I Met Your Mother.
Right.
Mm. But some people haven't seen that section of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. She's on that show?
She is.
She makes like, what, a two or yeah, three she episode has guest
a,
appearance?
A little bit of an arc. Yeah, yeah. I think it's longer than that, actually, because she's the secretary of one of the main characters for a bit. So
that's weird.
Yeah, she's in a few episodes. There's a bunch of weird ones. Mandy Moore shows up in an episode.
But it's just one of those things where... But,
yeah, I see your point. I was thinking about...
We try to softball it, but sometimes it just kind of sneaks into, you think the next person knows, it's just...
Well, no. And mine would probably throw people, but... Because I've been watching 6 Feet Under, and there are some really major actors who are in arcs of the show, but mm-hmm. maybe aren't in the whole show,
okay.
who are in other things, who would be recognizable from other things. And so that's why I was like, ooh, maybe I could bring it this direction, but... Because, like, there's a movie you brought up once on here... of course, now I'm not going to remember. It's the Jennifer Love Hewitt movie, Can't Hardly Wait.
Yes.
Has, like, if you look at the cast of that, it has mm-hmm. everyone from 6 Feet Under and a decent handful of people who made appearances on Buffy. Like, almost everyone in the movie was on one or the other show. So there are ways that it can transition into that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Buffy ones would be a lot more obscure than the 6 Feet Under ones.
People will probably shake their fist at you, but...
But theoretically, I could get away with it?
Yeah.
If it's down to the wire? Mm. Okay.
Man, I gotta say, the most recent movie to date that just had the best cameos has gotta be The Muppets.
Yes. Although I was a little disappointed. I was hoping there would be more cameos. I was hoping there would be more, and there were some cameos that were a lot shorter than I thought they would be.
Mm-hmm. It did a good job at... you know, having memorable cameos. Like, I remember specifically seeing...
Adam hasn't seen it.
Galifianakis, you know, that's not a big blow away. Like, you'll see him.
don't spoil.
Okay.
No, but there's a sequence of very fast cameos. I was a little disappointed in because I hoped that the people they had in this quick little series of cameos would have more screen time because they would all play really well in this type of movie. And there was a series of them where they were on the screen for like 10-15 seconds and then they were gone. And I was really disappointed in that.
It seemed like that's what they did. They had so much screen time for the Muppets, Jason Segel, and Amy Adams exclusively, and then everyone else was less of a Steve Martin cameo, where like he's on screen, he has lots of lines for what, the Muppet movie,
yeah.
the original. But now it's just kind of like somebody walks by almost.
And yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that. And I could have done with less Amy Adams. I love her. Her character just was... I really like her generally. Part of it might be because of the Minneapolis connection with her, because she was discovered at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater.
Mm, yep.
I didn't know that.
She was, yes.
Yeah, she's discovered
there. And she also has a Buffy connection, which always... is big for me. She's only in one episode, but I know the episodes well enough that I know. But Jason Segel, I could have used maybe a little less of, but Amy Adams' character honestly just kind of annoyed me most of the time when she was on the screen, and I was really disappointed by that.
Have you rewatched it recently?
I haven't rewatched it yet. I intend to.
That did help.
Does it get better when you rewatch it?
Mm-hmm. I think when you get the full context of the character and you feel what's going on, it's like, okay, well, I can kind of understand this.
Okay.
I kind of
hated her
dreams.
Song, too. And I was sad that I hated her song. But it was just...
It is the low point.
I really hated it.
It's a desperate song. I mean...
Yeah, but it's not even that. I mean, you can do desperation in a way that's not just annoying. But the entire time her song was on, I was like, I just really want to get back to the main story here. Yeah, this is just... Yeah.
I had such
stupid.
High hopes for that scene because Sarah Silverman was the waitress. I was like, here we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then just, I was like...
Yeah. No. Generally, I loved the movie, but there were a few disappointments.
She pulled a cameo just like everybody else. I'm here, I'm gone.
Well, and then they came back in the credits, which I thought was... It made the credits watchable. I was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Watch people sing. There we go.
I do need to rewatch that.
It helps.
Oh, yeah.
I really
it's
do.
Good.
It's out on DVD now, right?
I just watched it last night.
It just came out yesterday.
Okay.
And I got the Blu-ray. Look at this. Here's the pack I got from Amazon.
Did you get the Waka Waka pack?
I got the Waka
I got
Waka,
the Waka,
Waka, Waka Waka pack.
DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy,
VHS,
I wish,
and the soundtrack.
And the soundtrack, which I already own, so now I have this credit to get soundtracks. But the soundtrack is an incomplete soundtrack
because
I got the deluxe one with sound bites in between stuff.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
And it has
the sound bites.
But there's some good watchables on there, like the longest. gag reel in Muppet History.
Nice.
Or the extended Tex Richmond song.
Oh,
which
man.
Appears on
I
the
feel
deluxe.
Like I had enough of his song, to yeah, be honest. His song was... I don't need
context.
The extended version.
It gives a little bit of context.
But oh, that's right. I heard about that.
I enjoy it because it's nice having Chris...
Adam is like, stop talking about a movie I haven't seen.
The one thing I like, and I'll drop it after this, is that Chris Cooper did sound like... what's his name from Flight of the Conchords when he was doing that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
So that's what made it fun. It's just like,
yes.
What are you doing, Chris yeah. Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You silly? Mm-hmm. You sound like a real person.
That's
yeah. Anyway.
He's one that
I played it for you, so yeah. It's something that you...
Chris know. Cooper is one that should pop up in Movie Bluff sometime, because he's kind of in everything, but you forget about him.
He's so well at the background, except I just thought of him in October Sky, so now I got one.
Mm. Seabiscuit for me, which ooh, might stump some people because I feel like other people don't know it as well. But
I saw
actually,
it.
It's a really decent movie. I had no interest in it whatsoever from the subject matter, but the movie itself ended up being decent. Depending on what kind of movies you're into, I could see some people not being interested at all.
Tobey Maguire.
That was yep. my other
That's
one.
Right. He was yeah. in that.
But immediately,
the book it's based on is great.
Mm. We're kind of in this Twilight zone okay, right
I,
now.
I love that show.
I really thought you were going somewhere
say no
else.
More. Of, you are entering a world of... I can't even do yeah. a Rod Sterling right now.
But I feel like that's where we're going with this bonus track. All of a sudden...
It just keeps kind of rounding the drain, yeah. but it doesn't go in.
It's yeah. true. It's true.
And we're talking about behind the scenes things that probably we shouldn't
imagine
talk
a
about.
World.
No, behind the scenes stuff. It's just... Yeah. It's listed on the DVD as...
No. I'm talking about what we were talking about earlier with Movie Bluff.
Oh, well, I'm mentioning answers because, I mean, who... Not very many people listen to the bonus tracks. Right. If somebody's listening right now, thank
well,
you.
And
but
honestly, it's I feel like by the time anyone who might actually be in a position to be on the show got here, they would forget about these random mentions that we
yeah,
have made.
It's one of those on
because
the spot
once you're
things,
here,
I won't
yeah,
remember.
Once you're here, I mean, I can think of 25 starter movies when I'm not here. But the one time I was here, I had like my three I'd been repeating to myself in the car, and then I was completely lost. So you, once you're here, you kind of forget about things.
Yeah, there's right. that hot seat issue.
If anything, the two of you are the only ones who now have been helped out by this.
And I will forget it because that's what I'm good at.
Yep, me too.
See? No problem.
See, it's fine. Mm.
Except for the usual suspects. I'm totally going to whip that out at some point.
Oh, yeah. Someone's got to.
Yeah. If I haven't already.
It's too good. It's too good to not...
Realistically, it's more so we were just talking shop about the game so that it wasn't completely phased out this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, talking shop.
Adam
that's
has
what
an
I
issue
was,
with talking shop
I don't
on
know.
On bonus tracks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
does,
even
he doesn't
want to
give away.
Almost the Q&A, almost. You know, just kind of a helpful, did you have this same question about the game Movie Bluff? Now
I
you
suppose.
Know.
I suppose. It's not a perfect game, I'll admit to that.
No, it's not that. It's just that we've only played it so much, so people, you know, we have it hit on certain... issues,
scenarios.
So
yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, like my thing. I thought of some connections today, and then I was like, "Well, but can I do that? Is that would that be against the rules? Because it's never come up." So
right
now, people know if they listen to the bonus tracks, and if they don't, well, if
not
I'm here,
them.
Then
and,
good for me.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe,
Jim.
Thank you. Anyway, yeah. Let's
put a cork in this one.
Yeah.
Say goodbye. No. Okay.
One really quick.
Thanks,
yes,
guys.
Yes. Watch. Yeah. Since fun. Realistically, what this was the hour long bonus track.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
But you know, we usually break these things up, so we'll put the game as one, and then this is the other, so that if people want to learn a little bit more about Movie Bluff. I don't
movie
know
bluff.
Where that came
build
from.
Movie Bluff.
I gotta go with you to see Doug Benson. That sounds fun.
Really
it's really good.
I gotta go.
I think. Remind me again.
April 7th, Wild Bill Bauer.
No. That's not the one.
Not the one.
No, about the
Doug Loves
the,
Movies.
Yeah.
March 31st.
That's right. That was the issue because Jem's in town and we've got a
clue.
Game night that night. Yeah. Okay.
It starts at 4:20, so there's time.
Oh well. How long does it usually go?
It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours, so you'd be out of there by dinner, ish.
Okay, that might be a possibility. I'll see if he's interested.
Because they do have to keep it to a certain amount of time because there's going to be another show that night. So right. They have to get everybody out and clean up and everything.
And remind me again where it is?
Acme Comedy Acme. Club.
Okay. Oh, so that's close, too. That's right. Well, close to me. That's right mm-hmm. off, like, near 94 and West and Broadway. What?
Kind of like
that.
two, three over from Washington, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that area from Fringe, actually.
Almost waterfront.
No, the Fringe Festival.
Oh, okay.
Fringe Festival.
I was like, when were they filming Fringe in Minneapolis?
I'm so excited.
See, I heard French, and I was like,
I know
French
that from French.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Of course.
No, I'm so excited that I got, since I'm a house manager, I got the list of venues for
Fringe
today for this coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Southern Theater in Uptown is, or not in Uptown, in Northeast, is back on the list. And I'm super psyched because it's a beautiful, beautiful venue. And it almost was, like, lost a couple of years ago because the people managing it really messed up with the finances.
Good for them.
And so it was, like, completely out of everything for a while. And I'm really excited it's back. Woo. It's just me geeking out and no one knows anything about what I'm talking about. But I'm
basically.
Happy. I'm happy, so.
Bull, cut it off with that. Thank you for listening to the bonus track. We'll see you next week.
We already cut it off. Sorry.
Bye-bye.
No, it's rolling for just a little bit longer. We always do some sort of sign-off thing.
I want this sound effect.